Hi, Debbie?
Hello?
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Okay.
How is this tour going?
Fine.
A little more hectic than it was 10 years ago?
I don't know.
I guess talking from the back of cars is not, did you used to have to do that 10 years ago?
I don't know if they had cellular phones then.
So, you seem quite busy this go-around then, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Now, you're doing a pretty much a club tour. Did you ever do that with Blondie?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, how many years had you done that prior to, you know, your success?
Oh, I don't know. It's hard to sort of nail it all down. I started touring in 76 and worked until 82, so somewhere in along there. It was club.
Feel a little nostalgic to be doing it again?
Vaguely, no. I don't really think about it like that. I just think about it in terms of doing what I do.
All right. Does it bother you when people say Blondie is coming to town instead of Deborah Harry?
No, I don't. It doesn't bother me at all.
You're not trying to strike out some new image or anything? It's pretty much the same thing, just trying to step beyond with the new album?
Well, I have to make sort of things clear. I mean, people don't usually put it in print that I'm Blondie. You know, a lot of people call me that, but this is definitely the Dirty Harry tour.
A Dirty Harry tour. Why Deaf, Dumb, and Blonde?
I thought it was funny.
Yeah, I kind of do too.
Yeah.
And that's the only connotation anyone should read into it. It's just...
Well, I think it's sort of obvious what it is. I mean, Deaf, Dumb, and Blonde, it's sort of funny, and it's sort of hip and whatever.
Now, what took the comeback so long?
I don't know. What do you mean?
Well, I mean, you haven't been on the road for a few years, and I mean, there's a lot of fans out there that still want to hear, you know, Call Me and Heart of Glass and all that stuff, and haven't been able to reach out and touch you, so to speak.
I guess sort of switching labels and getting new management and et cetera, took some time.
Now, you were in Baltimore a couple years ago?
Yeah.
Were you here for Hairspray?
Yeah.
Any fond remembrances of Crabtown?
Oh, well, when I was there, I just remember it was like the 4th of July, and we went down to this pier or wharf down in the bay there, and... we had a party, you know, the whole cast and everything, and the crew, and got eaten alive by mosquito bites, by mosquitoes, I should say. But there was, you know, great fireworks and everything. It was a really nice time.
How long were you here?
I think off and on for about a month.
Did you enjoy making the film?
Yeah.
More so than being on stage, or just a different animal?
Yeah, it's just different.
Okay. Now, I read this crazy story about 6 months ago, something about Ted Bundy. Can you elaborate on that?
Ted Bundy?
Something about getting in a car with a crazed serial killer or something like that?
Well, I don't know. I don't really know if it was him, but after I read the story, I thought, my God, this sounds like something that almost happened to me. It was really very similar.
What happened? I'm losing connection here.
Yeah, me too.
What happened from the beginning? Where were you when you got picked up by this person? And...
Well, it was a long, sad story. I was limping across. I had these platform shoes on. This was a long time ago. And I had these really high platform shoes on. And I was trying to get a cab, and it was late at night, and I was on House Street.
In
the village.
Okay.
And as I was hitchhiking across, I was trying to flag down a cab going across Houston Street, and this little white car stopped, and it was like sort of this little white car, and the guy was not bad looking at all, you know, and he said, do you need a ride? And I said, yeah. I said, I'm just going across town, straight across town, a couple of blocks. So I got in the car, and it was summertime, it was really hot, and the windows were all rolled up. So I looked, and the window was about an inch and a half, maybe 2 inches at the top. And I looked to open the door, and I realized that there were no doorknobs and no window cranks, nothing on the door, and I thought, get out of this car. I'm in.
Hi, Debbie.
Yeah.
Nestor from Baltimore.
Yes.
Well, we'll try again. Let's hope AT&T doesn't cut us off this time. Now, we were started on the corner of some street in the Lower East Side of the village or something, and then you were talking about being picked up in a little white car. So proceed,
yeah,
if you will.
Well, I think it was probably the first and last time that I ever hitchhiked.
When was this?
But I wasn't really hitchhiking. I was trying to get a cab across town. And it was very late at night, and I was wearing these platform shoes. It was back in the 70s.
Early 70s.
Early 70s.
Okay.
And
so you weren't a star then. You were just...
I wasn't even in a band then.
You were just a citizen at this point.
I was just, you know, hanging around the New York Dolls. And I was trying to get across town to a club that was like an after-hours club. And I couldn't walk because my feet hurt so much in these stupid shoes. So I was trying to get a cab, and I was standing there in the street, you know, trying to flag down a cab. And this little car pulls up, little white car. And the guy says, where are you going? I said, and I just like, I continued to try to flag a cab down. But he was very persistent, and I wasn't getting anywhere. So he said, where are you going? I said, I'm just going a couple blocks across town to the west side. And he said, well, I'll give you a ride. Doesn't matter. So I got in the car, and it was summertime. And the windows were all rolled up except for like about an inch and a half at the top. And so I was sitting there, and he wasn't really talking to me or anything. And I was going to... Automatically, I just sort of reached to roll down the window, and I realized that there was no door handle, no window crank, no nothing. And then I started noticing, like, the inside of the car was, like, really totally stripped out. It was, like, gutted.
Okay, so was a little place where the handle was supposed to be there, but the handle not, you know what I mean?
What are you talking about?
On the door, there's always a little place where there's supposed to be a handle.
Yeah.
Yeah, that just didn't exist, or?
It was there.
It was there, but there was no handle.
Mm.
Yeah, okay.
The handle was removed.
Okay.
God. Stickler for details. Now, the car was funky. It was stripped down. It wasn't like a streamlined job or anything. It wasn't, you know, done nicely. It was like the handle was ripped off. There was no handle. There was the bolt was there sticking out through the hole in the fucking interior of the car. But the inside of the car was all stripped out. And it was weird, you know. It was like, you know, it was funky. So I got very nervous as soon as I saw that there was no door handle and no window crank. So I reached my arm up out through the little crack at the top of the window, and I stretched down, and I opened the car from the outside. And as soon as he saw me doing that, he tried to turn a corner really fast, and in doing so, I spun out of the car and landed in the middle of the street, and he drove off really fast. And that was it.
So you didn't spend 2 minutes in this car?
I don't know how long it was.
That's pretty scary. Now, when did you realize this might be, you know, Ted Bundy or...
Right after his execution, there was a big article.
Uh-huh.
In, you know, Time or Newsweek. And I was reading it. And it just came back to me at that point. I hadn't thought about that in years.
Was it a little white car, though, that they were talking about at the time?
Yeah.
That's...
It was exactly the same. The whole description of how he operated and what he looked like and the kind of cars that he drove, and the time frame, the years that he was around doing that in that area of the country, exactly fit. And I just said, oh my God, it probably was him. There's a description of him was the same. I mean, he was sort of a good looking guy with dark hair. He had on a white shirt. He looked, you know, pretty normal.
That's very scary.
Very scary, I'm telling you. Because, I mean, I had not thought of the incident.
You try not to remember that stuff, you know. That stuff will give you nightmares.
Yeah. Well, I'm one of the lucky ones. If there are any others, I don't know.
Okay. Now, getting back to your shows a little bit, what songs are you doing on the tour?
About a mixture of 50-50 of new and old.
And like the old stuff, all the hits are there. You're not just picking obscure old things, are you?
Yeah, some weird stuff and some big stuff.
Okay. Now, you're married to Chris Stein. I think I read that in one of the clips.
No, I've never been married to Chris. And we're separated now. We don't live together anymore, but we're still partners and we still work together.
Yeah, it's just like one of the things I said, husband, and I'm like, I didn't know that.
No.
Okay. Well, I was just trying to clear that up before I said something I shouldn't have said. Well, I appreciate you giving me some time today and being so persistent. And I'm sorry I was so persistent about asking for details. I just think that's a very interesting story. And I think
it is.
People,
it's a very strange story. And I never told John, you know, because I never even thought of it. You know, when I was working with John, you know, I know his interest in serial killers and
John
Waters.
Okay.
And you know, I know that he's interested in these things, and I know that he's interested in the trials of, you know, certain murderers and stuff like that. And I never even crossed my mind. I'm telling you, until right after the execution, there was a story in one of those big magazines, and I was reading it, and the hair on the back of my neck, I swear to you, it just went right up, and sort of just like, wow, it just hit my brain.
Well, the time you're in this car, the short amount of time, is it going through your mind that this guy's going to try to kill you because there are no doorknobs? And
no,
because he wasn't saying anything?
That, I got, it was not where I wanted to be.
Well, that's
I saw that and I said, there's something going on here, and I got out. I'm so just lucky and thankful.
So how many reporters ask you about this?
Nobody has.
Really? You talked to someone, because I read it.
Yeah, I read it. I did it in that Vanity Fair article. I talked to Jerry about it, because I had just read the article shortly before I talked to her, and I said that I think that that I was, you know, had this run-in with Ted Bundy, and I had never put it together before. There was no reason to.
And this was 9 months ago, something like that.
Yeah.
You just realized this?
Yeah.
God, that's a pretty amazing story.
It's pretty funny, isn't it?
Well, I'm glad I'll at least get a story that hasn't been written a whole bunch of times. But
no, not.
Well, thank you very much, and I guess maybe I'll see you Monday night.
Okay, yes.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye.